Vortex Dome at LA Center Studios. It's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we die. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars are
musical guests. I am Mark Legere, and now, I'm host of the MC.
I have been so close to the show.
Between our guests' schedule performing all over the United States and the world, and our musical guests, the same for that matter, to get them finally on the show and in the studio, so exciting to finally have this happen. So, I remember Michael on TV during the Star Search time, and when he won that and how he'd make me laugh, and to have him sitting here, it's great, but I've seen him out and about, and finally one day I got a chance to chat with him when I was with my friend Sylvia, and he was the nicest guy. He was real. He was telling it like it is, and he was down to earth, and then I walked away from him, and somebody pulled me aside and said, you know, he's a giver. And I said, tell me more about that. And she started telling me about how he's philanthropic and how he talks to children and does his comedy act for homeless foundations and all kinds of stuff, and he just gives and he gives. And then she said, and I was taken away, but then she says, remember him on Star Search? And I said, yeah, man, he was great. She's like, wait, you know, he won all that money. And I said, yeah. She says, you know, he gave half of that money to, I think it was the homeless or something, the homeless. And I said, half of that money. Now, he was just starting out. I mean, he had been working for years, but it's not like he was a multimillionaire. He was all that famous at the time. And he gave half of his money. I thought, how many people do that? I mean, talk about life changes. So it's interesting how even before the show, I'm so inspired by him. I wanted to sit down and talk to him about something that we could talk about during the show. And he wanted to tell me what Oprah was doing and what Whoopi was doing and what, you know, so-and-so is doing. And they're doing such good work. And this is how, and I'm thinking, wow, he's taken up his time to talk about the good work that people are doing out there in the world. And I thought, this guy is a giver. He is down to earth. He knows who he is, and I am so glad and grateful that he's here, continuing to inspire, as he has inspired me. So I can't wait to get the show started with our guest, Michael Collier, and when we come back, our musical guest, Ruti Chali, on the Life Changes Show, when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I'm Filippo Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Legere. And Mark, we've titled the show Learning to Laugh at the Hard Stuff, and talk about learning to laugh at the hard stuff. While we were talking, you said, well, you know, I've been rich 3 times and I've been broke 17. And, you know, he made me laugh while I'm talking to him. And I know it's true, too.
He's made everybody laugh since we came in here. And, you know, I was thinking about that magic moment that we always talk about that happens on Life Changes each week. And I thought about the kind of day I've had and for all those people that are going through stuff. And I thought, what are the odds that we're going to have to learn to laugh at the hard stuff. So thank you for being here. I can't wait to hear you.
Thank you.
And him and his rubber chicken, you can't help but laugh. So as is said about him, from Venice Beach to Venice, Italy, to the Vortex Dome here in L.A., he is a multi-talented actor, comedian, and author, and as you have also learned, philanthropist. Go ahead, squeeze that chicken. Besides Star Search, you know him from Blackish, House Party 3, Norbit, The Princess and the Frog, and as playing Mr. Whitaker on the hit television series Martin.
Martin.
Now he's doing his one-man show all over the country, Michael Collier's Mama.
That's right.
Here is Michael Collier. Welcome to the Life Changes
Show. Well, thank you. Yay. We here, y'all, at the Life Changes Show. The chicken is here, y'all. You know this chicken is international and worldwide. Everybody's taking pictures with this chicken. Just took a picture with Usher with this chicken. Just did one with I just went to see Shaft. Y'all got to go see Shaft. Shaft is off the chain. And Samuel Jackson is playing Shaft. Okay, I took a picture with the chicken and Shaft. That chicken is famous.
Okay, so before you start,
I wish everybody could see your face as you're waving that chicken at you.
They can.
Chicken is joyful.
He's on it. Is this Instagram?
Yes, Instagram.
He's on Instagram Live. So before you start talking about everybody else and everything else that the chicken and everybody else is doing, if you're going to talk about anybody, let's talk about your mama.
My mama. Okay. What do you want me to say?
Well, you know what? There's
Mary Lena Smith, as a matter of fact, from Chicago, Illinois.
She has still an influence on
you. She is still the influence, always the influence of my life. You know, just mothers in general. You know, we was talking about the show. It's called Michael Collier's Mama. You know, if you like your mama, you're going to love this show. Because I was saying it follows my life. You know, I've been, like I said, rich three times, broke 17. I'm way more comfortable with broke than I am rich. You know, me and broke, we like first cousins. We're on first name basis. You know, I know how to make hot water cornbread from scratch. You know, I know how to make cornmeal mush. Anybody here ever ate cornmeal mush? Oh, what? What? You had cornmeal mush? No, you haven't. Really? No, but you've had it. And you had it. See, we got a couple of real people here. Cornmeal mush, you got to really be poor to eat cornmeal mush. And the thing is, the directions and ingredients are on every box of cornmeal. But folks who got any money don't eat no cornmeal mush.
Wait, I have to say this. Every time I've seen you, no matter where I've seen you, you look like $1 million.
Yeah, I've been living like a millionaire for 20 years, but I don't know where the money is. Sooner or later, they'll catch up with me. But until then, I'm going to keep living it to a bust. No, I know poor. My family is so poor. My folks couldn't afford to have kids. The lady next door had us. Anyway, so my show covers my travels from Chicago. I'm from the projects, Robert Taylor Home, 4352 South State, apartment 909, and to my trip here to Hollywood to follow my dream, which is to be what I am now, an actor, comedian, motivational speaker, and just all around liver of this life, brother. You know, and but the main thing, the constant in it, is the greatness of my mother. You know, I love who I look at, you know, when I look in the mirror because of my mother and father, God. And this is also after my addiction, because the play also covers my addiction of 23 years of crack. As of March 1st, I have 8 years of pure sobriety, you know, and I was a real crackhead. I couldn't understand how we going to stop getting high and it's still dope on this here plate. Him and that razor blade. I'm just joking. Anyway, I was so high one day, I broke into my own damn house. So I'm just saying, to see me live through that, and you in the play, you get to see me act it out, you know, sneaking in the house 3:30 in the morning, trying not to wake up my wife, heart's pumping fast, I'm sweating like R. Kelly in the playground. So I'm just saying, you see me make it to the other side of it as well. And my mother was there as my guide, as my hope, as my heart, as my prayer warrior, to guide me without even knowing she was guiding me. Her belief in me, her love for me, her constant joy. She is always a happy person. Always a positive person, you know, and I'm the youngest of five men, and all of us are addictive, have been addicted in my family. We come from an addictive personality. My father was a professional alcoholic. He would drink a fifth of booze a day and smoke 3.5 packs of Pale Mall. You hit the Pale Mall? Remember Pale Mall cigarettes? They don't have no filter.
I remember, and
it's like smoking.
I never
wood.
Had them. I remember, though.
And my dad did that as long as I can remember, and he was diabetic.
You know, and so, you say all that, and you grew up in the projects, and you say you had a good childhood.
I had a great childhood. See, when you broke and everybody else around you broke, you don't even know you broke, you know, as long as you still got love. In my family, we had plenty of love. You just can't eat it. That's the only thing. But we had plenty of love. I wasn't impoverished. I just drove past some people, you know, who's sleeping in tents underneath the bridge. Yeah. It wasn't like that, you know. We might eat beans and cornbread all week, but we had beans and cornbread. We had a mother and a father that cared about us and loved us and talked to us and guided us. Like, my dad died when I was 12, But by the time he had passed, he had already taught us the basic things: how to take care of ourselves, how to clean, how to cook, how to iron, how to talk to people. You know, I mean, my son now is 40 years old. And when he speaks to me, he says, yes, sir, and no, sir. When he speaks to any adult, even if the adult is younger than him, he says, yes, sir, and no, sir, because of how we were raised. So I think that's one thing parents are supposed to do. They're supposed to prepare you in case they suddenly check out so you can go on and live a balanced life. So, no, my life was really great. And even after my mom left my dad, I was 11 then, and we moved out to Morgan Park and lived in a better home, in a better community. My mother and stepfather continued to raise me in such a way where I had to study. We had to learn. Like, my son got in trouble because he missed 16 homework assignments, you know. And, I mean, they weren't homework stuff. They were in-class assignments. And I had him in a private school. That means 16 seats in the class, four rows of four. And when I asked him what happened to the assignments, he said, oh, they must have lost them when I passed them up to the front. See, when I grew up, we didn't have that kind of liberty. If I had homework, I had to take it home to my father and tell him what it was before I did it. I couldn't show it to him and say, look, I did my homework. Well, none of that. You have to show him what it was before you did the work, then do the work and come back and show him that it's done. So, you know, we were raised in such a way where we loved each other. Me and my brothers had to take care of each other. We was never in a gang, although we lived in a building with Jeff Ford. Jeff Ford started the Blackstone Rangers, the biggest black gang on the planet. He lives on the 16th floor. We were never in a gang because it was five of us. We were a gang, you know, but we grew up in the projects, in poverty, but we had love in our family, and we had a mother that guided us and a father that guided us. So I didn't have hard times. I just made bad choices, you know. I mean, one day I had this rock, and I said, I wonder what happened if I dropped this on a hot piece of glass. Anyway, 23 years later, I find myself trying to dig myself out of that addiction, you know. But I did it because it was fun. I did it because it was the cool thing to do, and I had way too much money. You know, when I started my addiction, I remember Robin Williams said, cocaine is God's way of saying you're making too much money. And that pretty much what it was for me. I had all this money. I had no obligations, you know, and friends that got high. So I got high, too. Before I know it, I was in my addiction.
That story about giving 50% of your Star Search money to the homeless.
Yeah, I've been trying to get that money back ever since. I'm glad you laugh at that because I want people to understand I say that jokingly. But I've had people write in and say, well, you shouldn't have gave the money if you want it back. I didn't give it because I wanted it back.
But why did you give it?
You know, at that time, I was on Venice Beach. It's my fourth year out there.
Right. Well, let's explain that because you're performing on Venice Beach.
Right. I was street performing. Part of my journey and the story I tell in the play is that I started doing comedy on the streets of Chicago. I tell jokes and pass my hat. And that was 85 in 1985. And then winter came. And wasn't nobody trying to hit no jokes on State Street in December. So I packed up everything that would fit into my car, 1967 Buick LeSabre, and I sold everything else. And I drove to Los Angeles because I wanted to be where it's supposed to be warm all year round. I didn't realize it'd get cold here too. But I drove out here to do comedy on the streets, and I ended up on Venice Beach. So I would do five one-hour shows every Saturday and Sunday for 9 years on Venice Beach from 86 to 95, without fail, every weekend. I do 5 one-hour shows.
Even after the TV fame?
Oh, yeah, after the Star Search thing.
Yeah.
You know, because first of all, the money was very good, and the popularity was so good. Everybody goes to Venice Beach. Venice Beach is the second largest tourist destination in Los Angeles after Disneyland. Second is Venice Beach. So everybody and their mama come to Venice Beach. So everybody came to see me. Arsenio Hall came to see me. Rick James brought Eddie Murphy out there to see me. Who are those boys who wrote Ben Affleck and Matt Damon? They hadn't made their money yet. They would come and sit on the ground and watch me do jokes. Snoop Doggy Dog would come all the time. Tupac. Everybody would come to Venice.
On that sidewalk.
Yeah, on the sidewalk, I would stand there and 400 to 500 people would circle me. And for an hour, I'd do 40 minutes of comedy and 20 minutes of getting my money. And so I became the destination. I became the act to see. Everybody would come to Venice. They'd have to bring them to see my cacaya tell jokes, you know. But then I looked
up. You had a spot.
Yeah, I was in the middle of the beach. I was at the boardwalk at it was called Brooks. The street was Brooks and on the boardwalk, and it was the pagodas, the green things that people sit stand under. I would make my circle. People would surround me. I'd tell the jokes. I'd pass the hat. In fact, I'm going back out this summer. And I'm building.
Seriously.
Yeah, I'm building a stage. It looks like a king's crown, and I'm gonna stand in the middle of it and do an hour performance. It's called The King of Venice Beach.
Oh,
you
I'm
know?
Gonna want to know more about that. Actually, yeah. if any of you want to know more about what we're talking about here, yep. you go to The Real Michael Collier.
The Real Michael Collier. collyar.com
collyar.com. We're gonna come back with more Michael Collier in just a moment.
We'll be right back.
And then a little later on, we're going to have live music with Ruti Celli.
She fan too.
All on the Life Changes show. We come back after this.
Hey, guys. So I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success. And unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com, that's DIENNET.com, to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Michael Collier, making us laugh while he's on Instagram Live and our show.
That's right.
The Life Changes Show.
Lifechanges.com.
Yes, lifechangesshow.com. Now, Michael, you know what? We mentioned your website, therealmichaelcollier.com.
Right, right.
But we didn't, and we did mention Michael Collier's mama. You're going to be touring with that. Actually, you already are.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, just one real quick. The play is doing really well. I did it here in Hollywood at the Hollywood Barnsdall Theater. Angela Bassett came. She said it blew her away. Lou Gossett said it blew his socks off. Can't wait to see it on Broadway. Robert Townsend changed. He said it changed his life. He didn't know the comic could do what I'm doing on that stage, where I come up and tear my skin off and give it to you raw for 2 hours. Mm. And Jennifer Lewis made everybody stand up. Then we took it to the National Black Theater Festival, picked it up after that. We did it there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Then I just did DuSable Museum of African-American History in Chicago. In June, I do it in D.C. at the Black Theater Festival in D.C. And then in July, they're bringing us back to the National Black Theater Festival for the main stage in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Then September 12th and 13th, I'm back here in Hollywood at the Hollywood Barnsdall Theater to do the play two more times. So I'm going to do 100 cities. I'm going to march it to Broadway, and I'm getting my Tony Award. I'm telling you that right now. Y'all can say I told you. I'm not making this up.
And your mama's going to say,
I'm proud of you. And I think she is proud of me now that I quit playing with my life, you know, now that I get it back together. You know, a lot of times we stumble and fall, but we have to remember the road to success and happiness is not always a direct journey. It's not always linear. Sometimes you got to go back and forth, up and down. You make falls. The thing is, you fall down, try to fall on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. So you always want to just get back up. You know, it doesn't even really matter what happens to you in life. What's important is, how do you deal with it? How are you going to handle it? And if you're in a situation you're not loving, are you going to just stay there? Are you going to change it? Because everything's about a matter of choices. Your choices put you to wherever you are right now. You're where you are right now in this life because of the choices, the series of choices you made. If you don't like where you are, make different choices. You have a chance to do that. The thing I talk about in my play is, I can change my life at any moment I choose, but what moment shall I choose? You know, I choose now not to live like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And now everything is coming to me. My heart's desire, everything I dreamed, I'm writing books, I'm doing plays, I'm doing comedy around the world because I put that BS to the side. Mm-hmm. I made a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. What?
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry
Don't
about?
Get me started, because yeah, I'm telling
got, you.
I know there's no worse death than being talked to death, and I'm just trying to help you.
You know, actually, you mentioned books, and I'm holding two of them that I want to talk about. But you said, I want to write this down. What did you say? If you can look up.
If you can look up, you can get up.
You can get up.
And
okay.
I was talking to you earlier about laughter.
Yeah.
Being so important because laughter is
that
healing.
I wrote that down.
Yeah, and laughter. You can change your situation.
Yeah.
If you can laugh at a thing,
yeah.
you can get through a thing.
Yeah.
Because if you can't laugh through it, then it has power over you. And you don't have to go giving your power to other people. You know, people, they can't take it. The only way your power goes to others is if you give it.
Yeah.
And you can always reclaim your own power, you know, by remembering to laugh first. Remembering, like I was telling you, I never let circumstances determine my attitude. Mm. So I don't ever have a bad day. And people say, well, everybody have a bad day. Sometimes, not me. I don't ever have any of those.
Yeah.
Even if things aren't working the way I want them to work, I will not choose to be sour about it. I realize that I will remain happy and joyful because it's the attitude of gratitude. You know, the Buddha said it best. Awake and be grateful because you have a lot. Even if you don't have a lot, at least you got a little. Even if you don't have a little, at least you ain't sick. And even if you are sick, at least you ain't dead. So be grateful. So no matter what situation I'm in, if I remain happy and positive and joyful, all situations will turn in my direction. All of them will turn to the light. Mm. Just like the more I face God, the more happy my life is, the more joyful my life is. And some people might not believe in God, but there's a thing out there. Whatever you want to call it, spirit, Allah, Yahweh, Yahoo, Bob, whatever you want to call it, there's something out there that's greater than us that created everything from nothingness, and it did it in the name of love. And so the universe is conspiring for your good. The universe really wants you to be joyful, but you have to set the vibration. Some people say, well, the universe is blessing me or the universe is cursing me. It doesn't do either one. The universe responds to your vibrations. So whatever you're sending out there is what you're going to get. It's going to magnify. When you see your broke friends, what are they talking about? They're talking about how broke they are. Oh, man, this ain't working. That ain't working. Well, you love broke. That's all you talk about. But the people who have abundance are the people who see the abundance and talk about it. The people who have joy in their lives, they talk about it and see joy. What you see is what you get. So you have to see it first, and then it appears. Yeah.
You know, I know people that talk like you.
Uh-huh.
And when they're on air.
Right.
And then when they're off the air, they don't live up to
this. They are some of the worst human beings you ever want to meet. some of your family members too.
And we're
some of the worst people.
We're not going to. But the reason I say that, not to pick on anybody, the reason I say that is because you and I were talking about some hard shit. Excuse me. Some hard stuff before the show.
Yes.
And we're not going to say what, but you've got some hard stuff coming up. And you, I mean, like, coming up.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I'm not, you said, Filippo, I got a positive attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to be taken care of. Somehow it's going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. I got things coming that's rough, and I got to handle them in the next 2 weeks. But if you, the law of resistance also says anything you push against pushes back harder. So I don't resist the thing. I fold into the thing and keep going forward. You know, I know I'm going to be all right. I already know I'm going to be excellent. I already know I'm going to be supercalifragilisticexpialidocious because that's the way I'm feeling and that's the way I'm thinking every day. And all I have to do is think, I've had 100 things in my life that seem terrible, like I'd never get through them. And look, here I am. I'm sitting here with Filippo right now. I got on a cute suit. I brought the chicken.
You sure did bring your chicken.
I took that chicken to Kentucky Fried the other day. He passed out.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I heard you do free
What is it? Motivational speaking?
Yeah,
I speak at churches. I speak at schools. I do motivational speaking a lot of places. It ain't always free, but I will do free as well.
I
believe in giving back.
I was trying to set up the joke and I ruined it for
you. Oh, what was it?
Church's chicken is where you said you do your act.
Oh, yeah, you messed that joke up. Just stick with what you know, please. Jesus Christ. It was going so good.
I blew that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But so going back to what I do, I'm holding two books. One is A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the White House. I knocked on the door and a brother answered.
Yes, and it lifts up and glorifies my president, the favorite president of my lifetime, Barack Hussein Obama, who is just an excellent human. More than anything else, which is what made him a great president. Just a really great guy. He represents family. He represents community. He represents caring about people and not chasing a dollar, you know. And there's not enough black men. You know, he's a black man. Black men are rare. Niggas, they everywhere. You're going to the glove compartment of your car. Four niggas will fall out. But black men, men who have integrity for their community, for their family, for their queen, for their God, very rare indeed. And he is a very rare, powerful man. And we need more examples for youth to see powerful black men who are about the good. Not powerful because they get all the money and they can step on you, but powerful because they want to help the community. They want to give back, you know.
And the other book, Miss Innocent Goes to Cool School and Other Silly Stuff.
That's a poetry book for adult children. Adult children. Yeah, it's some profanity in that. So the first page says this book contains cussing and S-H-I-T. It'll let you know right up front because they're poems about my life and things that happened about my addiction, about my wonderful daughter, you know, who is now just turned 25 5 days ago. And she's awesome, but I didn't get to see her as a youth because I had her out of wedlock. And so I would only mostly get to talk to her on the phone, but I was determined to be her daddy, even if I was going to be her daddy by phone. So I wrote a poem in there called Daddy by Phone. And, you know, the different poems in there will move you. They'll tickle you. And they'll uplift you. And it's just a great poetry book that I'm turning into an Adult Swim cartoon in 2020. The poetry is by Ivan Artuk. I mean, the art, if you look at this art, y'all can't see it at home, but the art is by Ivan Artukovich, a Russian artist that's off the chain. I don't know if you have a chance to flip through that thing. It's crazy art.
I started reading some of the poetry.
So I'm going to turn those characters into cartoon characters. And the foreword is by the great motivational speaker, Les Brown. So these are the two of my books. My third one comes out in 2 months, and it's called Michael Goes Motivational. It's motivational speaking from a comedic point of view. I also do weddings, divorces, Passover, hangover. I do a party in a phone booth if you promise to call. I take green stamp, food stamp, Canadian money. I take your bus transfers, got some time left on it. I'm sorry, go ahead. I want to do a shout out to my queen, Kelly. I love you, mama. She's my sweetheart. You know, she's my Uwachiku. She the one. Yeah.
You bring joy.
Thank you.
That's your thing.
That's my thing.
And, you know, you not only laugh at the hard stuff. Actually, there's a poem in there in the book, the book being called Miss Innocent Goes to Cool School. There's a poem about fat people.
Yeah, about fat people. And it's not really about fat people. It's about people who are different from you.
Right.
And if you looked at the cartoon in there, they're laughing at this fat girl, and she's got a tear coming out of her eye. But all of them are messed up in some kind of way. One of them got a block here. One got a pencil here. Mm-hmm. One got a fly coming out of his ear. You know, people try to laugh at people who are different than them. But the truth is we all have something about ourselves that we probably might not be too happy to share with the world. And even if not, if you have the power over others, you don't want to make them feel bad. You know, there's a song out called You Can Be Kind. It's like the sweetest song in the world. You can go online and just pull it up. And it says, if I could be anything else in the world, why not be kind? You know what I'm saying? I mean, why hurt other people? It really doesn't give you power. You may think you have it, but you don't, because you have to steal theirs to get yours.
And
you'll
joke about that stuff, but at the same time, it's not at the people's expense.
No, it can't be at their expense. You don't want to make people feel bad, especially the people that's paying you, because they won't come back and pay you again. They'll laugh along with the people who are laughing at them because they're embarrassed. And they'll leave, but they'll always remember how you made them feel, because you can give people things or you can say things, but people will never, ever forget how you make them feel. They remember how you make them feel forever. So you want people to feel joyful. You want people to feel empowered, because it's the truth. And plus, anything I give to you, I give to me. That's why the most powerful thing you can do is give. If you want to have anything, learn to give all to all. If you give everything to everybody, you'll have so much stuff you won't have no place to put it. So I can't give you anything without getting it myself. Like, I don't want you to be so vain as to think I'm just saying this stuff for you. I'm saying it for me too. A lot of stuff I never heard before. So when I say it to you, I'm reinforcing these ideals for me. Mm. Every time I give you something, it comes right back to me. Mm. And so if we learn to start giving and giving and giving, we multiply this world in a positive way, you know, instead of, you know, making people feel bad. I need people to know the truth that you are right. You're excellent. Just the way you are. You're perfect. God created you with designer genes. He already made you the most excellent person you could be. So you ain't got to change nothing. You ain't got to apologize to God. He ain't never been mad at you. You can just go ahead and live. It's okay. Just go ahead and be you, man. Yeah.
You know, Michael, you're a really funny guy. Have you ever thought about being a motivational speaker?
I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about that. You know, if I can get them to pay me. You said something about free a minute ago.
No, that was supposed to be the
My buttocks clenched when he said free. It sounded like a gunshot. Did you hear something sound like a gunshot without pow? That was me going, oh, Lord, free. See, my woman is a shopper. She don't understand I come home without the money. You know, she's like, oh, my God, the money is sick. I had a cold once. She said, oh, my God, the money is sick. Somebody get the money some soup. You know, so, no, I got to, you know, romance without finance is a nuisance. So I got to make some paper, too, now.
I was trying to set up a joke.
Which one did you try?
The one about church's chicken.
Oh, yeah, that didn't work. That failed 20 minutes ago.
Okay, we'll be back with a little more of the real Michael Collier. You know, it is true. You will be unforgettable on this show.
Thank you.
and anywhere you go, more power to you. So we'll be back with more of Michael Collier.
You are the powerful 10.
And are you talking to me?
No, I'm on the microphone, but I'm trying to talk to my people here. They're watching me on Instagram.
I know.
All They're 10 of them. I got a crowd show. Of 10. They're watching the whole show.
Right.
But I am the show. So, no.
So we'll be back with more Michael Collier. And then
we're going to have more of me.
In our next segment, we're also going to have our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, joining us.
Yay!
For the Ask Dorothy segment. And soon Ask after Dorothy. That. Live music with Ruti Celi, all on the Life Changes Show, and we come back after this.
Yay!
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Michael Collier. And also joining us now is Dorothy Lee Donahue. And Michael not only has his show that he's touring with, Michael Collier's Mama, he's touring with 17 other characters, actually.
Yeah, I do 17 characters. I don't get them all right, but I'm getting there. That's a good thing about this, is that I'm learning it, and I'm starting to get to it. You know, another thing I'm going to get out of doing this play is I'm actually learning to act. You know, I always sort of thought I could, but now I'm finding things.
Have you seen your stuff? You could.
No, I'm getting there, but this is really getting me there. Every time I do this play, I discover more about myself and my family that I did not know. You know, like when I was strung out and addicted, I would come home at night, 3:30 in the morning, right? I'd sneak in the house, right? And then I would also bring like a little piece of the crack pipe with me. I always just kept a piece of the stem and an extra rock, like for an aftershot, you know. So if my wife was asleep, then I'd go in the bathroom and I'd sit on that floor for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, smoking this pipe, flipping that lighter to my thumb, was just raw and red. And she never came and knocked on that door and said, get out of there. What are you doing? I know what you're doing. Because she never did that. And I was always waiting for that. I was like, I can't believe that she's not coming. But I was waiting for her to save me. And it wasn't her job to save me. She was never coming to save me. Nobody was coming to save me. I had to save me. And I didn't realize that until I was doing this show. And I would talk about it again and again. And then about the sixth time I did the show, I went, wait a minute. Why was I waiting for her to come and save me when it was really my job to save me? If any of us are going to get saved, we have to save ourselves, because everything starts from within. It's all inside of us. Survival, success, love, life, all that's an inside job. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm realizing that. So this play is revelatory to me. I'm learning, I'm growing, and I'm making a couple of dollars.
And you're inspiring people because they're learning and they're growing.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that that's really happening, and it is. You know, some of the places, so many addicts are coming. I did it in a church in Memphis, Tennessee, 3 weeks ago, and there was two crackheads in the audience because I say, you know, I miss crack. Anybody else miss crack? And two ladies raised their hand. And I said, really? And I asked one lady, did you miss it a little or a lot? She said, I missed it a lot. And I asked the second lady, how much did you do? She said, all I can get my hands on. And after the show, she revealed she had been on crack for 34 years, and this is her 10th year of sobriety. And so it's healing people because they're coming to see that there is a life after addiction. You know, I have a podcast right now called The Happy Pod.
That's right. Yeah.
And The Happy Pod is, we talk to addicts and they talk about the joys of sobriety and the gifts of sobriety. Everything I have is a gift of sobriety. My happiness, my joy at my house, my brand new house I bought in August, the career I'm having. All of those are gifts of sobriety. My first guest was Lou Gossett, and we're talking to another big name right now. Ooh, I can't tell y'all, but he really good from London, a comedian, and he's talking to us. And so we can turn this thing around. So let me let other people get in the show. I'm sorry, because you know I'll be talking. Y'all be home. Won't even be no lights on here. I just be talking. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. On the contrary, this has been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
And you know what? I think a punchline that we haven't shared, and a lot of people don't know, that is very touching.
Yeah.
Because you tell all this sometimes through the eyes of your mother and out of respect with your mother, and you say funny things that your mother, but what people don't know is where is your mama now?
Oh, my mom transcended. My mom transcended 10 years ago, actually on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
And like I said, I never shed a tear because she has never left me. You know, I mean, she still informs my every decision. I don't do no bad stuff on purpose. If I mess you up, I swear to God, it was a mistake because I know my mother is watching. And so when I make my decisions, I think about my mother and what would she think of what I'm doing. And so my only real thing in life is I just want my mother and God to be proud of me. So I ain't perfect. Oh, I messed up some stuff yesterday. I'm going to do some more tomorrow.
Yes,
I'm going to do some terrible stuff in a week. I'm just human. I'm going to make some errors, but I'm always going to try to err on the right side, to try to do the right thing. You know, we'll see what happens.
Michael, and I have to say this, we actually met at Lackawanna Blues.
At Lackawanna Blues, where that brother was telling his story, playing 24 characters. He stood on that stage and blew our mind. He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's an absolute. That show is so good. You've inspired me. I'm going to go home tonight and watch the movie.
Yeah, you've inspired me. I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah, because I've seen the movie, and now I've seen the one-man play, and he's even making me better at doing the show, you know? Yeah. So.
Well, I can't wait to see your show here in L.A. in September. Aren't you going to Atlanta, actually, also?
I'm doing Atlanta. I'm doing comedy in Atlanta at the Uptown Comedy Corner. That's the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
So in June, y'all come and see me in D.C. In July, come and see me in Atlanta. And you can always go to my webpage, which is therealmichaelcowyer.com. All my information is there. My calendar is there. You can reach me there. I respond to everyone who writes.
I just want to know. Who's the other guy that says he's a Michael Collier that you have to say you're the real one?
It's about 14 people out there claiming they're really? Michael Collier. They're selling my merchandise and everything, and they're making more money than I am at my product. Yeah.
Well, you I can attest to
it. I just got my verification check on Instagram, and you have to get that check, because if you don't have that blue check, they don't know who they're talking to. And so unless they wouldn't give it to me.
To the real one? Are we talking
about
the real one? I just ordered a few dozen of those chickens.
Oh, the chickens got his verification check.
You should sell those on your website.
Before me, the chicken got his verification check.
You should sell those on your website.
I'm thinking about it.
With a little sign on it or
everything
something.
On there.
Think
fish
about
sandwiches.
That. and think about motivational speaking seriously.
All right. Hilarious. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being here. And thank you to Malika Blessing, actually.
Oh, Malika Blessing, big shout out. She's my production manager, and she's production partner in everything I do. We're at the theater together. Yeah. She's the one who produces this play with me. She's the one helping me take it to 100 cities. Nice. She knows all the right things to say, the right people, how to talk to them, how to do everything you need to make a production go.
She's great.
Thank you for saying that. I'm glad you're mad because she would have killed me. Shout out to you, Malika. I love you.
The real MichaelCollier.com.
Yay.
Thank you, Michael. Can't thank you. You enough. What a pleasure.
Right.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Marcy, and I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I love my husband and cannot imagine life without him. We've been together 16 years and have two wonderful children. Bill is one of the most intelligent people I know, and that is just one of the reasons I married him. He works really hard and yet doesn't have a real job. He is a great connector of people, and he gets involved in some really big deals, and we live a good life. However, since he doesn't have a real job, I never know where the money is coming from, and it is hard for me to live this way. Somehow he manages to make money each month, and he isn't stressed about it, but it is taking its toll on me. How can I get him to change the way he does things to a more steady way of me knowing where the money is coming from?
Dear Marcy, it is interesting to me that you've been together for 16 years with a man you love and who is really intelligent and has supported you by doing things his way and has provided you love and financial support, and yet you are stressed because you don't know where the money is coming from. Wow. What you could choose to do is step out of fear and worry and look at the amazing fact that for 16 years, the money has always shown up and you're always provided for and live a good life. Mm-hmm. Marcy, even those people who have jobs with they have no idea if tomorrow there will be a paycheck coming in. Many jobs today are very temporary. It appears to me that you've done well in this marriage, except for your constant worrying, because you've been programmed to believe that jobs provide security. Your amazing Bill has provided you and your family with security for 16 years, and I believe he will continue to do so. It would be very nice if you could find a way to step out of fear and into the place that Bill lives in, and that is the place of faith, trust, and knowing that he will always provide for you and the family. And please understand that we cannot change anyone, ever. We can only change ourselves, and since he has provided you with love, intelligence, and a good life, maybe you need to focus on changing you. I trust that you will be able to do so once you choose to step out of fear and look at Bill's track record. And let's see what magic you can co-create by choosing a more loving and supportive and joyful place with Bill. By you choosing to live from a place of gratitude for all the good your husband provides instead of living from a place of fear, worry, and doubt. By making these choices, I believe you will begin co-creating a better and happier life for all of you.
Wow.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
Can I get my opinion on that, though? I think Dorothy and Bill going to jail. They're going to find out what they're doing, and they're going to jail. I'm just joking, Dorothy. Dorothy, you keep the faith, like you said. Keep the faith. They're going to jail. I'm just joking.
Wow. And with that, we'll be right back here on the Life Changes Show.
That's the first time I've ever heard anybody say Dorothy's going to jail.
I didn't mean Wait. You're Dorothy. Right? I didn't mean Dorothy. I meant the people that wrote. What's their name? What's the people's name that wrote?
Nobody's going to jail.
Marcy is going to jail. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. I was joking.
I don't think she was saying she doesn't know where the money's coming from in the sense that it like might be coming from some nefarious thing. She's not knowing when he gets paid for this job or that job. You know, like an actor or a comedian.
Yeah, like me. I ain't got no job.
Right?
No job, exactly.
Okay. We'll be right back with our musical guest, Ruti Celli, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Dorothy, and of course our guest, Michael Collier. And joining us in the studio is a classically trained cellist who began her musical journey at the age of 8 at some of the highest establishments in Israel. And then she's gone on to not only use her musical talents classically, but also in the genres of New Age and acid, jazz, lounge, I could go on, but I'm going to stop. And Ruti Celi, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hi, guys. Yeah.
Why did you stop me? I could have said trip hop and dance
music. Because it's so many, it's just endless.
But that's the thing, is that sometimes, you know, when people think that they're studying classically at school, or they think that they're going to be stuck in that, but
right. You're
not.
No, not at all. I had an amazing journey and still am, like, incredible. It's just, I'm discovering, actually it's more like rediscovering an old passion that I've had for improvisation. Back in high school in Israel, Haifa, Israel, I went to a really cool school that all the teachers were buddies from the army. And they told each other, one day we're going to open a music department and we're going to do all the classes that we always wanted to have but never had.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the brilliant ideas was improvisation for classical musicians, and take it as far as experimental and as daring as possible. And I was maybe 14, 15, I don't know. And I'm sitting there, and we're just there. The main thing was, the teacher was saying, we just want to, like, experiment here. You guys, this is for you. This is for fun. No need to feel bad about if you're not able to, whatever. So I was taught from an early age to love the unknown when it comes to music. So I did it for a while in high school, and then years went by. And by chance, in about 3 years ago, with a musician friend of mine from Miami that I've knew for years, Fernando Perdomo. One time he came to visit, because he was living in L.A. for a while, and he came to visit, and I said, somehow, I don't know why, I said, oh, we should jam. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And then we went to some place to try and jam, but we missed it. So we went to my studio, and we sit down. Within 3 minutes, he goes, I'm sorry, Ruti, we have to record this. This is some crazy. And that moment when we started doing that stuff, all of a sudden I zoomed back to my high school years.
Wow.
And my soul was crying from happiness.
Oh, yes.
It was so powerful.
Yes.
I want to cry right now because it's just so beautiful. And if Fernando's hearing it, he's probably going to remember because it was so magical. So anyways, so then I realized that there is this whole world inside that has so much to give, you know? It's, music is so, like, it's just such a magical form of expression. And I have so much music in me because I listen to, you know, my parents used to listen to the Beatles, to Paul Simon, to ABBA, and to Jobim, and a lot of amazing music. And I was studying to be a classical cellist, you know, growing up in a family of musicians. My mom played piano. My dad played guitar. My sister went studied vocals and piano. So there was always music at home. So I knew I was going to play an instrument. Am I talking too much?
No, you're not. But I want to make sure we have time to hear
music inside of you. So let me say no more. I'm just going to – this is all going to be improvised.
Right.
What I brought here today. I have no idea what I'm doing. It's
You know what you're doing. You just don't know what's going to come out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Correct. We've heard
some of
it.
I don't have any preconceived plans right now.
So except you will use the cello.
I will use the cello, and I will use some of the pedals I have in front of me.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go with the flow, and this is where I find the most joy in my life.
We're looking forward to this. Here is Ruti Celi improvising live on the Life Changes Show here broadcasting from Vortex Dome, LA.
Thank you.
We all went somewhere. Yeah. with you, and you went someplace, but you came back, and we had a journey, and here at the Vortex Dome, LA, with what's going on above us and with you, it was perfect setting.
I could play. I would love. I'll play as long as you want me here. Like,
right?
Probably free of charge. I'll do it like once a week.
It's just amazing in here, and you're Ruticelli, RuticelliCelli.com.
Yes.
People that want to follow you, you've got a couple different projects going on right now. You've got Firmicelli. You've got, which is a very clever name. You've got Into the Frequency.
Yeah, same thing, by the way. They're all connected. Everything I'm doing is all connected.
And then you're touring with our friend Caroline Waters, Norway, Europe, and all over this summer,
yeah.
Right?
All summer.
Yeah. So say hi to her for us.
I will.
But how great. And you're going to... You're doing her thing though for that, right?
Yeah, we're gonna play her music. Her musical is just so beautiful, yeah. So enjoyable for me to play it. I just have to be the cellist this summer, you know. But I love it. This is my main passion. I think. Well, it's hard to say what's your main passion. It's one of my main passions. Mm-hmm.
It's the one that's coming through real strong right now.
Moving to LA is just. Was probably the best thing I've done in the last 20 years.
Oh,
wow!
I feel mostly blessed, not because it's LA. I feel what I'm learning here on my own has given me so much, and the fact that I'm here with that knowing, with that strength, with that power, with that energy, I am able to do what I actually want to do with music, and not be afraid of. That power
and be able to give more musically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I see in connection with what Michael said, I'm completely in alignment with him. Like we are creating exactly what we want. Exactly. And
I'm glad you two met, by the way.
We're totally in alignment.
Yeah.
Totally. Exactly. Through because I feel like there's a lot that can be given through improvisation for. Everyone who are struggling, like the same person that was asking the question today was so beautifully answered. And it's really about trust. Mm-hmm. Everything comes from trust. So if I can show people that I can trust myself to create magic without knowing anything up front, I just dive into it like with trust. Mm. That's a big inspiration that I can give people. And trust is so important.
Yeah, well. You know? Thank you for inspiring through your music, for trusting yourself and being here with us and sharing your music. Ruticelli, what a pleasure. RuticelliCelli.com.
Pleasure being here with you guys. Thank you.
And a big thank you again to our guest, Michael Collier. What a pleasure having you here. Michael Collier.
Collier.com.
And with that, that is our...
And I want to say that question was answered beautifully. I was just being silly. That question was answered beautifully.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. We knew we were having fun with it.
Yeah.
So with that, we also want to thank our production engineer, Kaylin Holmes, here at the Vortex Dome LA. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.